It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Better MMA Roasted Podcast. It's me, Adam Hunter. We got a great show today. We have my man, Greg Romero Wilson, the Cowboy fans. I hear it's tough being a Cowboy fan right now.
It is, man. The problem is we only have half a team. We have an offense. We have zero defense.
I'm a Jet fan, so, you know.
You guys are really taking it. Woo! Yes. At least we won one.
We also have Joe Perez. McCorkle's coming. Fry's coming. We got a whole show. Here is McCorkle right now. Yes, it's been a crazy week. There's some good fights this week. Really good fights this week. It's always like a lot of times when it's like the worst card on paper, it's the best fights.
Like
the best card on paper, the fights are horrible. I just got back from Minnesota, by the way, and the shows. It felt so good doing live shows again. I mean, first of all, like I said, people that go there want to laugh. Like, they're just
sure.
Can't wait. They can't wait to laugh. But the problem with some of the shows, when there's a lighter audience, like some of the late shows, they have to spread everybody out. So everybody is like, talk about like social distancing. So now there's like, you know, 50 people in a room that holds 300. And like, so now I'm like, everybody's over there. And there were people that saw me last time and saw me crush, like friends of mine. And like, I don't know about you, Greg, but when someone sees you again, I feel like I always want to do really well for them. Like, show them that I can kill again. And if I don't do well, I feel like I let them down. But anyway.
My problem with that is I always want to do an entirely different show than the one they already saw. That doesn't always work out well either.
But then you're doing a whole show for two people and then 100 people that like didn't see your show. You know, like.
Yeah.
Exactly. But the shows were actually really, really good. I was so happy about it. And Minnesota was awesome. So, and then there were some locals that like, you ever have locals that show up at your shows? Like, hey, mind if I do a guest set? Like, you've never heard from them in like 4 years. Like, how do you have?
Yes, but you can you blame them for that? I mean, I used to do the same thing in Dallas. I mean, that's part of the process is kind of being around. Although it is weird when you ask and it's like, but I don't have any frame of reference as to whether or not you could carry the water here, you know? Yeah. And that's always a little awkward.
Yeah, I always get like, and then sometimes I hate when I say yes, then they leave before I even go up. Then it's like.
Right, then they do their set and then just take off like, thanks, bye. And that's pretty ungracious. Yeah,
but anyway, the fights were great. How are you doing, McCorkle?
Doing good. I was just thinking, you guys talking about that. How'd you like to be Brendan Schaub and the crowd leaves before you get up to do a stand-up? I actually heard he was saying the other day on somebody sent this to me on Twitter. I really don't stalk him because I'm only interested in my life. But someone sent me something the other day. He was like, great news, guys. We've added a third show on Saturday. And somebody commented, yeah, it's because both of your shows on Sunday got canceled, douchebag. You're trying to combine those tickets for Saturday night. It's not that you added shows, it's you lost shows and you're trying to act like spin a positive out of it. So he sucks. Anyway, I'm doing all right.
Good. I'm happy you're good. And then Joe the Kid, how are you? I know you're happy that Trump's feeling better, right?
I made a cake for Trump. I'm going to eat it tonight. I'm so excited that our Lord and Savior, Donald Trump, is better from COVID.
Ooh. See, it's that kind of language. It's that kind of language that's going to cost you.
I was convinced he was going to fake his own funeral and then come back in 3 days and say he was Jesus. I thought that
would be hilarious.
He's got to be careful. If he comes back as Jesus, he wouldn't let himself in the country.
Boom! He'd call ice on himself.
I don't know.
It'd be like that Twilight Zone movie. Remember the Twilight Zone movie where the guy was a racist and then he like came back as like a Jew in Nazi Germany and a Vietnamese, you know what I mean? Like, you remember that? That would be Trump's nightmare when he come back and like ICE is trying to arrest him and shit. He's like, but you don't understand. I'm Donald Trump. I'm the Donald Trump.
In the beginning of that, they were like, John Lithgow's like, you want to see something really, really scary? And the guy I know it was Dan Aykroyd. He wants to see something really scary, and then he turned around and had an iPad with Brendan Schaub's comedy special on it.
Now, by the way, I was watching the LFA fights. Oh, I think someone left. Joe left. I was watching the LFA fights, and there was a guy fighting. His name was Dakota Bush, and his nickname was Harry. Dakota Harry Bush. I was like, this might be my new fan. And he won. He's a good fighter. But Dakota Harry Bush, I mean, really, that's one of my favorites.
That's nice.
Now, let's talk about the UFC. Holly Holm, like I said, she always beats the girls that she's supposed to beat.
Right.
It's always the step-up fight. She's the Donald Cerrone of the women's division. It's always the step-up fight that she loses. But the one she should win, wins in dominant fashion.
Yeah, I think she may be a little better. Well, it's actually a very, very, very good comparison. I think being divorced helped her. I feel like she has that divorced anger.
I said that too. I felt like he was holding her back. You know, you could see it after the fight. She'd be all excited. And he had this look on his face. He's like, "Well, I guess we got to do this again." Like, I really thought that his energy was holding her back. And I don't know about you, but I saw an improved fighter, like with more skills, more polished ground game. She was going for a Kimura, like, and not in like a janky way, like in a very polished, studied way. I was impressed.
Don't you think divorced women have that, like, they don't have that much time anymore. They're kind of past it. Like, dating a divorced woman is like being a relief pitcher. But your team's down 9-0 and you come in, like, someone else fucked it up. Like, I feel like they're, like, over it. Like, especially divorced mothers are the best because they have limited time. They're like, we have to fuck tonight.
Absolutely. Yes.
And 9. You ever dated a divorced single mom, Greg?
Oh, yeah. That's where the joke came from. I do a bit in the act about it. I'm like, they're the best because they're like, look, I'm available from 3:10 to 3:45. If you could kindly have your pants off when I arrive, it'd be greatly appreciated. They ain't got no time for romance. They ain't got no time, but no, they got to hit it and quit it. It's perfect.
No, there's definitely this like thing of jaded. By the way, before we get to the next fight, McCorkle, what are your thoughts on the Holly Holm fight?
I was surprised how much she looked like, what's his name? Rick Schroeder, number one. Like, she looked just like Ricky Schroeder. I thought I was watching Silver Spoon for a minute. But like, I heard she beat Ricky Schroeder in a Ricky Schroeder lookalike contest. Like, I was shocked. Like, I thought he was like Ricky Schroeder was transitioning. But
I love our audience is looking up Ricky Schroeder right now.
That's most he's been Googled in 20 years since Silver Spoons.
Very topical.
Speaking of which, you know what's so funny is one time I was drunk on a date. And I told this girl if she'd ever seen the Different Strokes episode where Dudley and Arnold got molested by the bike shop owner.
Yeah.
And she was like, no, I was like, it's so awesome. You got to watch it. And then I realized like she was just sitting there staring at me because she was like in her early 20s, like staring at me like I was crazy because I was like, she thought it was an actual video of them getting molested. I was like, no, it's a TV show. Like, I was like, it's, you have to understand. But you guys remember that creepy bike shop owner? And like, it was like they would say something totally horrific and inappropriate. Like, you can tickle me all over. And the crowd was like, studio audience, like laughing, like, what? Why are we laughing at that? That's a little bit.
That was like one of the very first very special episodes,
right?
Where the comedy would go really, it would become a drama. It would become a drama.
Get kind of dark. Episodes. Like when Will Smith met his worthless father on Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. That episode really hit home for me because I actually grew up with two convicted pedophiles living in my house. This is a true story. My parents were like real into church and like Christians and everything, and anyone that cried Jesus that said they found Jesus, it didn't matter what they did, they could come stay with us and they would give them a job and try to help them because, you know, through our church group or whatever. So we had a 5-foot-tall Vietnamese, doesn't matter if he was Vietnamese or not, but just for the story's sake, I had a 5-foot-tall Vietnamese pedophile living with us. Luckily he was a heterosexual pedophile though, so I had nothing to worry about.
Right.
Also another guy who molested his daughter that lived with us, and they lived in the basement with my brother and cousin who were both also convicted felons. So we used to call our basement cell block F.
Oh God.
When we were kids, because if you went downstairs, you might get fucked. Like that's what we called or whatever, as a joke. But it was
hilarious.
Well, anyway, I actually, my brother made a Karate Kid spoof with the Vietnamese pedophile when they were kids. Like, the guy's like 35 making home movies with my brother. Like, I'll tell you what, it brought all new meaning to the term wax on, wax off. I'll tell you that.
Oh, my God. Oof.
boy.
Things are starting to make sense now, Sean. This is just
right.
The picture did just get a lot clearer.
Sadly, that's all true. 100%. What I just said is 100% true. Sadly.
I know, dude. No one's doubting you.
I think what it was, I figured after a while, my parents just thought we didn't have a good enough chance of getting molested on our own, so they wanted to bring someone in house. Like, you know what I mean, or whatever. Like, let's make sure.
Well, you were big kids. Really, you were big kids. You were hard to tackle. So they probably thought, you know, you got to give them a chance.
It's kind of like the Brady Bunch with felons in it.
Oh, God.
Without a gay dad.
That's actually, that would be a really funny reboot. The Brady Bunch with felons. That's actually hilarious.
Right.
Wean Dog.
I love it. There's your elevator pitch right there. You get that you get the executive in the elevator. You're like, it's Brady Bunch with felons.
But with child molesters. So, Joe, what did you think of the Holly Holm fight?
I thought it went exactly how I thought it was going to go. I was surprised that so many people in the MMA universe were picking Irene Aldana to win. I have a feeling Sean put some money on Irene Aldana just because of his tweets. Yeah. You know, he was going hard on her stand-up game. It went exactly how I thought it was going to go. I had a $5 parlay on Holm and Durandamine, and I won a nice like $15. So, you know, I'm happy, but I don't know why so many people were picking Irene to win.
Now, I lost at least $1,000 on those parlays with Holm losing because the more I watched Irene fight before the fight, I was thinking she was just going to outstrike Holm. And I thought Holm being older, she looked like the young and up and comer going to beat the old veteran. But I have never seen anyone, not even me, with as bad a stand up as Irene. Like, dude, the inability to cut off the ring or to do anything but chase her and run into that left hand over and over again blew my mind. Like, I don't understand it. She did not cut her off going right one time. I don't get it.
You had a lot of knockouts in your career. What do you mean? You didn't have bad stand-up?
I mean, I was known for not having the best stand-up. I was like kind of like a Jake Shields type guy. Like, everybody was like, you know, like they would laugh at my stand-up when they would, unlike Brendan Schaub, they laughed at
me. I was waiting for it.
I know. That one was just hanging out there. We're all like,
my most of my knockouts were on the ground because I was all right. It was really weird. I was all right at ground and pound. I was pretty good, but terrible if I just stood up. So I don't know.
Well, I mean, you also didn't start learning striking till your mid 20s. You know,
I didn't even start training until I was 29 of any kind of martial art. So
that's insane. Now the fight, I'll tell you, the guys before that, I don't understand why that was the co-main event. Felipe,
I don't either.
That was just a weird,
awful.
It was like King Hippo versus King Hippo from Mike Tyson's Punch Out. I mean, what was that?
The worst was DeCastro in the third round, getting told to fight over and over, and would just do the same thing. And then the bell goes off, and he puts his arms up.
Right.
I'm like, what did you think you just won by not fighting? Go fuck yourself. That drove me nuts.
But Felipe was yelling at the ref. Like, that never works, yelling at the ref. Telling the ref, like, he keeps doing this, and he's holding, right? Like, has the ref ever agreed with the person and go, oh, you know what, you're like.
Well, he did agree with him because he kept separating him and asking him to fight. So in that regards, he did eventually kind of agree with him multiple times.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know. Felipe was kind of funny, though. They're like, he wants to be a Diaz brother. I was like, I think he hates the whole family. But it was –
His speed was surprising. I'll tell you that.
I loved his attitude. I was like, this guy, if he didn't have UFC, he would definitely be an enforcer for some kind of drug or betting ring, some kind of mafia organization, without question.
Now, I felt bad for Pena because she's a good friend of mine, and going into that last round, I had it even, but that must have been. I mean, first of all, she took a year off. She got hurt. She had ACL surgery, she had a kid, you know, a lot of things were going on. GDR is really good at 135. At 135, she's going to be hard to beat because she's so much taller than everybody. And
yeah, Pena, tons of length.
Pena was tagging her. I think if she hadn't got caught with that guillotine, she would have won the fight. She would have got the takedown. But it was just – now, was that – I was thinking about you, McCorkle. Were you having that same problem against Struve where you just couldn't get in?
No, my problem is true, but I just gassed out. He was fairly easy to get in on. Even Mark Hunt did it to him. He didn't control the distance real well. He probably does better now than now. He was only 22, I think, when I fought him. So he was early in his career, even though he had a lot of fights. But guys that she didn't control the distance very well either. But I was surprised they were in the same weight class, man. They did not. I mean, she looked 20 pounds heavier than Pena. Like, she looked way bigger than her. But it's a weird thing, man. Distance is such a strange thing because you got a guy like John Jones who is a master. I don't even know if he gets – I mean, he's got long reach, so they kind of take it for granted. But he's even with his reach, he's a master at controlling the distance. There's certain guys like that, and there's other guys, you know, who don't do it at all. But, I thought Pena was going to win also until she got in that guillotine. But it's she looks so much smaller than her, not just shorter, but smaller physically.
Yeah.
Surprising to me.
Now, she got choked out cold. Would you rather be choked out cold or knocked out?
I'd rather be choked out just for the brain trauma part of it. And plus, that way, it's like you didn't quit. Like, I got choked out on TV, on Spike TV, by Christian Moorcraft. He actually picked me up at a guillotine, and everyone said I just quit. I don't know how you quit and fall flat on your face, like, without even trying to catch yourself. But all I remember is thinking I'm fine. He got me choked. I was like, dude, you're going to have to do better than this to choke me out. And next thing I know, I was waking up, and they asked me if I was okay. I was like, yeah, I'm ready. I thought we were between rounds 2 and 3. And they said, no, it's over. And I said, what happened? That's when I realized I must have lost if I was asking what happened. But I didn't feel in danger at all. And then I woke up. So choking out is better than being knocked out. That way people can't.
You don't think you take any brain damage by getting choked out?
Yeah. Not like you do with getting it rattled by getting punched, you know, getting your brain rattled like that. I mean, I don't know. I had one time, man, when I first started taking jujitsu, I'm extremely prideful, believe it or not. But when I was taking jujitsu, I got in a collar choke with this Brazilian guy. He was the teacher. And he basically strangled me for 8 minutes, and I was coming in and out of consciousness, but I wouldn't tap. I only had like 3 classes. And so I was trying to get out of it, and I just kept for 8 minutes straight, 8 minute rolling session. I was almost passed out from having a, you know, like a blood choke. And I remember I didn't feel right for about a week after that. Like, I felt really weird about it. Like, my brain just didn't seem to operate right. So no telling what damage. I probably had a stroke or who knows what. But he thought he wasn't choking me, and instead I just wouldn't quit, you know, because even though it was one of my first classes, I just am way too prideful to tap even in practice. So yeah, I also had one where I got put in a bicep slicer for 8 minutes one time and wouldn't tap, and then I couldn't use my arm for 3 weeks. So after that, but I got through the rounds without tapping.
No,
so.
I'm the same way, because think about wrestling. Wrestling's always like push through. That's all they teach you, push through. And then you go to jiu-jitsu, and my ACL was torn within fucking 6 months because I was trying to push through everything. Wing Dog, have you ever gotten choked out?
No, not completely. I've got to the point where you're just seeing all these like white little stars. And then when you tap and the dude lets go and you're very like, what the fuck is happening? I've been on the brink of being choked out completely, but never fully.
Greg,
I noticed your stars were white. Is there any reason for that they weren't black?
no, not at all.
Are you saying black stars don't matter?
Greg, have you ever been punched in the face?
Yeah, but I mean, you know, when I was a kid, I don't think as an adult that I ever took one in the face.
Really?
Somehow. Magically, I don't think – I can't remember taking a shot to the face as an adult. I mean, nobody much times as a kid.
Nobody's ever threatened you after a comedy show or anything?
Oh, I've been threatened a million times. That's why it's amazing that it never amounted to being cranked.
Rumor got around you were Greg Fry, probably. They were like, that's Don Fry's brother.
That's Don Fry's illegitimate child that he had with a tiny little Mexican woman. But that's the thing. It never really materialized into that. I don't know. Either someone else always gets involved or just kind of always diffuses one way or another. So,
yeah.
I mean, I've had a guy come at me at the Edmonton Comedy Festival, Calgary International Comedy Festival. One of the locals, we were like on the first night, like the headliner asked to go up early. So he went up a little early, right? And he performed, had a great set. And then the guy that went after him bombed. And so the host guy gets up there and is like, you know what? No one can follow that guy. I'm just going to end the show. And I was like, I didn't come all the way from New York for you to fucking end the show.
Yeah.
So I went up on stage and took the mic away from him and was like, no, show's not over. Nothing's over. A lot of comics still to go. I don't know what the fuck this guy's talking about. Well, this guy lost his mind and wanted to fucking kill me. But luckily, there were other people there to hold him back.
Wow.
I do have a question for you guys, being stand-up comics that you are, the proficient, prolific stand-up comics. Do you guys ever worry about, if you're too hard on the crowd, losing fans one by one? Because I've seen Adam destroy people's lives on stage before and thinking, man, those two girls will hate him till they die. Like, I always wondered if you guys worried about that, like losing those, maybe one fan, two fans per show, but over a year's time, you know what I mean?
Worry about the fans. I worry about losing, like, the gig.
Exactly. Pre-social media, I didn't worry about it at all.
Yeah.
Now I've taken a much different approach to crowd work because, yeah, because if it turns into a bunch of tweets and that guy's trash and blah, 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 it doesn't make it, you know, now you're in a position of like, listen, don't listen to that, listen to this. Social media definitely changed that.
A lot of it is depending on how well I know the club owner. If it's a club owner who's like, I don't give a shit, fuck this, freedom of speech, you know, First Amendment, blah, blah, blah. But if it's a club, if it's like a feminist club owner who barely wants to book me anyway, you know, like, and then a lot of times that's even worse because now I'm not being myself. It's like there are certain clubs, like the Comedy Magic Club, I love performing there, but you have to be pretty clean there. And I always, and I never really feel comfortable there because I never feel like I could just be myself. I'm always worried about doing well and not offending people. And when you're trying to not do something, it's worse than trying to do something. You know, I'm sure like if you're trying to not lose the fight, it's different than trying to fight, you know?
Yeah.
And a lot of times like trying not to bomb is a lot different than trying to kill.
I'll never forget the time that you talked me into doing an open mic, Adam. And I went there and I walked like at least 25% of the room because not because I wasn't funny, but because I was too offensive. Like, or whatever, like people are, you know, like my first joke was something about my grandma gives the worst Christmas gifts. She got me Jenga, the Twin Towers edition for, you know, like Veterans Day on 9/11 or whatever, something like that. And then I was telling that story about the girl in the crowd who I'd had relations with at one point. And like I asked afterwards, Mike, I can't remember his last name, but I said, hey, man, what did you think about or whatever? He goes, well, you had 30 people leave on you, you know what I mean, or whatever. He goes, he said, I was getting comments like, I didn't know we were doing an X-rated show here tonight. And I just thought anything went. Like, I didn't know, you know, but it was, I mean, I talked about beating this girl up and all that, but she had it coming. Like, it was a long story. But
listen, I used to think that too, that it was any, so long as you were funny, you could get away with anything. But right. in a politically correct world, that proved not to be true.
Well, now it's different. Well, I'll tell you what, now during pandemic comedy, like, I walked two people the whole, and like, in six shows. And it was only because people were like in the back. It was a couple making out the whole time. They were older. And I'm like, these people are definitely cheating. You know, like they definitely came here.
And they probably got up and left.
So I like basically like, I don't even consider that walking them. But people that are coming out, like I did a show where I'm like, man, if Trump gets this Supreme Court justice passed, like, I don't know what I'm going to do. I think I'm going to open up a hanger store. Right? And like, People were like, ooh, ah, but no one left.
I almost just walked on this podcast on that one. like, good Lord.
Really? I mean, it should be hanger and vacuum store. I mean, really.
Talk about some fights. By the way, so I'll tell you who looked good. This guy, Carlos Condit. I didn't realize it was in a five-fight losing.
I was wondering what you were going to say about this one.
Happy about him. I said, McGee's nose is so broke, it opened up its own OnlyFans account.
Dude, he moved that nose to the other side of his face on that end of the round one when he almost knocked him out at the end of round one.
And because the guy's a recovering drug addict, he refuses to take any painkillers at the hospital.
That's so right. Like, no narcotics. After,
yeah, because which is like, he's a tough... I think Condit looked good, and he looked happy. He looked like he was having fun in there. And it's been a long time since he looked like he's having fun in the octagon. At the same time, you know, Matt Brown called him out afterwards.
To an early bird dinner at Sizzler where they get the senior discount? Is that what he called him out for?
I like that fight. You wouldn't watch that fight?
I'd watch it, but I again, it's these guys. Like, even in this fight, the Condit fight, he looked pretty good, but both of them looked really slow. They both looked old. Both looked slow. So I think he looked good by comparison, but that was but that was it. But by comparison to the other fighters that night, they both looked super old and slow. Am I the only one that thought that?
But isn't that better than watching him versus a 30-0 Brazilian fucking or guy from Russia who's just going to go out and murder him and make a name off of him? Wouldn't you rather see that?
No.
You'd rather watch a guy from Dagestan just walk through him?
Yes, absolutely.
I don't know. Sean?
I put big money on Condit, and when I saw he was the underdog, I was like, I wonder why. And I looked back and realized he had lost 8 of 10, and like you said, like 5 or 6 in a row. Yeah. And I was like, I didn't realize he had lost that many in a row, man. It was crazy. Definitely not the Condit of old. But, yeah, I won some money on him. I was really happy for him, man. I like that matchup. I also was thinking about him and Diego Sanchez, man. If Diego wants one more, like, that would be a good one. I even thought, man, I know BJ Penn always talks about, why don't they put BJ Penn in with Diego at 155? Like, that way at least one of them gets to win. You know what I mean?
That's why I was thinking the Diego Sanchez thing. I was like, him and Diego seem to be pretty much the same place right now.
Right.
That, I think, would be a pretty good matchup.
By the way, I also was thinking when Greg was just saying, like, it's kind of like comedy, you know, like when you're coming after somebody, you know, like in comparison, he looked good. That'd be like how good John Lovitz would look if he came on right after Schaub, like something like
there
that.
There it is.
Like,
boom.
John Lovitz is a horrendous stand-up, but compared to Schaub, he's Richard Pryor.
I heard a story about Lovitz one time that, like, it was right after Phil Hartman died. Like, everyone he was on SNL, and they were all, like, in the back and, like, eating, and, like, they were, hey, but, and then they heard, like, Phil Hartman died. And everyone was just shocked. And then Lovitz just said, this food's getting cold. Like, it was
like... For Lovitz to be like, that's more screen time for me.
Yeah, like... fucking Lovitz.
Didn't Lovitz open his own comedy club so that he couldn't get thrown out?
He was actually decent. I mean, he was not really... He's not really a comic, but he's a funny...
I was going to say, I mean, that was the thing. He had a home at the Laugh Factory. That wasn't a problem. He had plenty of... You know, they let him up all the time at the Laugh Factory. I think he just saw a business opportunity. You know, thought it would be real easy because it was at Universal City Walk. So he figured it was going to be easy to just get people to walk right in. And so I think he just saw it as a business... Because he almost never performed his own club.
Yeah.
How do you guys feel about people like Steve-O or that come in and they start doing comedy and taking money out of your guys' pockets when they're not actually comics?
They're not really taking money out of our pockets. I mean, a lot of those guys are like, you know, it's not like, who are we going to book, Adam Hunter or Steve-O? We're going to pay Steve-O $50,000, Adam Hunter. It's like, we're not on the same.
Exactly. I mean, they're celebs.
Wait, he makes that much money? You
know, he probably makes about $50 a weekend or something.
Are you kidding me? Steve-O? Yeah.
He's a celeb and he sells out, you know?
I'm sure he does. So it doesn't really, it doesn't bother me. Honestly, it's not like there's not enough spots to go around. And look, Steve-O had like a really bad drug problem. And if this is what he has to do to stay off drugs and stay healthy and help, you know, so be
it.
You know?
$50,000 a pop. I can't believe. I thought he was getting like $5,000. I had no idea he was getting that kind of money.
No, he's getting.
I'd say it's probably more like $30,000. It'd probably be hard for him to get $50,000 out of, because he's just playing improvs and, you know, he's playing the A clubs, but they're not theaters. So I think he would probably be more in the $30,000 range than the $50,000 range.
That depends on how many. If he's getting a split, a 90-10 split at the door, and he's charging $30. I mean, who knows? Whatever. But the point is, he's doing whatever. It doesn't bother me. Because he's also like, Steve-O did it on like his own in some way, you know.
Right. You mean without Joe Rogan? Is that what you were saying right now?
That's pretty much, that was where that, it was a job dig. Hello. Back to the fights. I'll tell you who I think was pretty exciting was that Dusko Todorovic guy.
Oh, my God.
I thought that guy's, I mean, we'll see what kind of ground game he has eventually, but I mean, I thought he was fucking exciting as shit.
They did. Yeah. They also threw him against a guy that was like on a 2-fight losing streak, I believe.
I think he's on a 4-fight losing streak now. That might have been his fourth one.
Yeah. So like, but yeah, he did look really good. He did look really good. I'll tell you, and it's sort of my friend Kyler. Kyler looked great.
He looked great, man. Great he took tricks. That guy. He had that guy all turtled up. He was just taking bombs.
Meanwhile, that guy came to my show like last month. Kyler did when I was in Arizona. Super nice guy, really, really like just a friend. He came to my Zoom show, and I was like, hey, who are you fighting? He's like, I don't know, some guy from Mongolia. I'm like, you know his name? He's like, nah. Meanwhile, the guy he fought wasn't from Mongolia.
He was like down the street from him.
But I mean, I think that guy was a replacement, though.
But like, he like, just didn't even, I mean,
it's either from
this
Mongolia.
This Norwegian walks out.
Like, Sean, do you think it's better to not even know who you're fighting? Not even.
No, I think I think if you can know every single thing about them, it's better, because anything you can take advantage of is far, you know, much better. Especially, I was always amazed at Greg Jackson, man, how he could. I don't think he gets near him and Winkle John the credit they deserve for designing game plans, man, to do stuff. I mean, you could see Holly Holm, whatever game plan they came up for her that she was following the night, she was piecing her up and it worked perfectly. They beat Ronda Rousey, you know, a lot of it's John Jones. I mean, John's a freak of nature anyway, but they don't get – I asked him before I fought Stefan Struve. I said – I was in Elver with him. I said, hey, would you mind giving me, Greg, like your quick what I should do to beat Stefan Struve? He said, take him down, stay in half guard and beat him up for there and try to wait out a decision because he's hard to finish, which was exactly my plan the whole time anyway, you know. So
yeah.
Him not even – he didn't even charge me for that. But, yeah, him not – not even plan on that fight. It was the first thing he thought. And it was exactly what we're doing. But yeah, I would rather know everything about a guy, everything you can possibly know.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause he was like, that was good. And then I'll tell you who else looked good was the guy who did our buddy who came on the show, Casey Kenney. But that guy was a punching bag. I mean, that guy was like a Mongolian punching bag. But I mean, he just.
Did you say he's a mongoloid? That's what everybody.
No, you can't say that, by the way. They get very offended. Mongolians. Don't want to say mongoloid to Mongolians. And then also Jordan Williams, who got the living shit beaten out of him against the guy Eminov. I mean, he got like the guy headbutted him. He made me a fan. He even in defeat. Because the guy just kept going. I actually looked up more of his fights afterwards, because I think that happened a lot with Mayhem and GSP, was that people became more of a fan of Mayhem after getting the shipping on him by GSP, because he was like laughing while getting punched and just taking the hits. Sometimes, like, even when guys lose, you become more of a fan at their heart and their character and their, you know,
absolutely, yeah.
So I got to give him that.
What about that Luigi guy, man? That was the fastest knockout of the night.
Oh, yeah. And he was underdog.
That first guy, he came out and he pieced him up. It was over.
And I loved it. They kept talking about the other guy. They kept saying how good the other guy was. And that's my favorite, was when you could see the bias in the commentators. And then all of a sudden, or when they're talking about something and they'll be like on a tangent. And a guy's getting knocked out while they're talking, and they have
While they're talking him up, and he's getting completely pieced up. Yeah,
yeah, that happened with Goldberg and Ronda actually. When it gets Holly Holm, Goldberg was like, "Ronda Rousey, they're calling her the greatest ever," and then Rogan's like, "Actually, she's getting the crappy right now."
Yeah, and then Brittany Schaub was like the most crap beat out.
Oh man, so let's talk about by the way, some guy came up to me who was like trying to, this comic was like, he's like, "Hey man, you're a big fight fan, right?" I'm like, "Yeah." He's like, "What do you think about Kimbo Slice?" And I was like, "Oh, I'm like, he could have been great. I mean, for what he, you know, it's a shame." He goes, "What, he's not still fighting?"
Like, "Oh, no."
Like, "No, he died." Like,
he's not even still breathing.
Well, he was barely breathing when he was fighting for punch.
I mean, I feel bad. I mean, it's like, but man, yeah, it's all over for it. Sadly, I mean, tragic.
Right.
You know?
All right. So MMA news that happened. Mike Perry. All right. First, he got a tattoo of his girlfriend on his lip or his
Never fiance. Good idea.
But those go away. Those go away, right? But
really? Now the lip ones?
Yeah, the lip ones go away. Now he's saying whoever gives him the most money can work his corner for his next fight. Right, along with
just like any random person, basically.
Yes, anybody. So Darren Till, who hates him, he's put in the biggest bid so far.
Oh my god,
grand was it?
Yeah, and now he said he's gonna throw the towel in as soon as the fight starts.
Oh shit, Till is too good to be true, man.
What's the bid?
I think it's like $5,000 so far, $10,000 or something.
I think we need to start a GoFundMe to get you in there, Adam. I really do. It'd be the biggest coup for the podcast.
You think me? I mean, what about getting like a stripper or something? Like a naked person? Like, we could have more fun with this, right? The Nation of Islam or Andy Dick. I mean, can we just like...
Oh, man, that would be great.
Can you imagine Andy Dick?
That'd be awesome. He's icing his balls in between rounds. Stop icing my balls.
Andy Dick could be trying to have sex with Mike Perry and his girlfriend, whoever was closest, like that.
So, I mean, are you allowed to do that? Like bid your corner? Is that even legal?
I don't see why not. I wish I had thought of it.
I was going to say, it's one of those things that's legal because no one's tried it yet. And they're going to immediately, and if this happens, they're immediately going to outlaw it. Like, they will immediately create a rule to make sure that doesn't happen it happens.
The Mike Perry rule?
Yeah. The Mike Perry rule. That's exactly
it's
what
like, it's like old boy shorts. Who wore those real skimpy shorts that time? Was it Dennis Hallman? Was that Dennis him Hallman, that wore the smallest shorts ever? And everybody was like, "Well, I guess you can wear that till his balls were falling out during the fight." And they were like, "Yeah, probably not again."
Well, the legend Don Fry just joined us.
Yes.
And his dog who looks just like him. They say dogs look like their owners. I agree. Or they take after the owners. My ex's dog. So Don, you actually watched
it.
Don, what did you think of the fights last week?
I have watched.
What do you think of Holly Holm?
Yes,
I did. What do you think of Holly Holm?
I think she got a hell of a body. Be a good-looking woman. She's a hell of an athlete. She's a hell of an athlete. She's a great fighter. I just think she's a little bit too hesitant, you know, on some. She should have murdered that woman in the first period, you know, or second at most.
Yeah.
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 I think she was more concerned with just getting the win and not putting herself in danger.
Well, that's the problem. People, they fight not to lose instead of fighting to win, you know, and when you fight to win, you go all out, you know, there's nothing reserved. But people are fighting too much reserve since they were told, you know, you lose three fights, you're gone. Well, then, you know, like I said, back in Pride, they would say, we don't care if you win or lose. As long as you give a good fight and a good show, we will bring you back.
Yeah. Yeah. It should be that way, honestly, because people are trying to – you get some boring fights. You get some wrestlers that hold people down and don't actually go for the win.
Well, I was thinking that about Court McGee. Like, he's clearly losing by two rounds. You got a minute and a half left. Like, let it go, man. What? Where's the – I feel like go street fight, man. You got to get a knockout. And instead, he just kept getting – you know, kept trying to not get hit. It was weird, man.
That's what I wish. I wish UFC fight contracts were guaranteed, man. If you're going to sign a guy to eight fights, it should be guaranteed eight fights no matter what. That way, if guys knew they were getting paid the same amount, win or lose, for eight fights, like no win bonus, no anything, just you're getting a flat eight fights in 3 years, then I think the fights would be much better because you don't – a lot of guys – you know, I was worried every second I was in the UFC, I was worried I was going to get cut for something I said on Twitter, which I probably deserved, or one of my fights sucking or losing. I mean, you can fight an exciting – they'll always say if a fight's exciting – we won't cut you. And then they'll cut you after you lose an exciting fight. You know, it's like, it's never, they say that like, oh yeah, if your fights are exciting, we'll still keep you. And then they turn around and cut you when you lose two in a row. So it's
Don,
like,
Don, what do you think of the heavyweight, right, the Felipe fight, Don?
I disagree with the big man. If you are guaranteed money, then you lose the ambition. If you're guaranteed, you know, a fight bonus, then you go after that fight bonus. You know, you've got to give your reward for activity, you know, for results. You have to reward for results.
Yeah.
Don, what do you think of the Felipe fight?
the heavyweight?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought it looked like Tank Abbott versus Big Country, you know?
Yeah, Don, you were always in shape for every one of your fights, even with the fights you had when you were like 60. Is there any excuse for these guys not being in shape?
No, but well, sure there is, because they're not getting paid enough money to leave their real job. So they're not pro, they're semi-pro.
Yeah.
I've said this 100 times. Don't get paid anything. They get a medal, you know. Semi-pro, you're still working a real job, and to subsidize your training for the fight world. And then if you're a pro athlete, well, then you make enough money to make that your one priority, you know. And that's the thing. If you're going to be a champion, you've got to get rid of everything else in your life, and you have to concentrate on this 24 hours a day.
Yeah. I'll tell you who I felt bad for was Juliana Pena, because she was coming back, and I think she won that fight, but she just got caught.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, is that just – that just happens?
Well, she needs to work on her stomach muscles, you know. She's looking, still carrying away a little baby fat there, you know. needs to tone up. She looks like me. Looks like me without the mustache.
He does not look like
at all. Maybe she needs the mustache. I thought she looked great for having had a baby.
So does Don.
All right. Yeah, I look great for baby. Yeah.
Now, Don, for some MMA news. So Mike Perry, he's auctioning off anybody. Right now he has his girlfriend working his corner. His girlfriend has no fight experience, but she's hot and young and they're engaged or whatever. Now he's saying anybody who gives him the most money can work his corner. You think we should try to raise money for you to be in Mike Perry's corner?
Dude, hell yeah.
Yeah, that's that. Let's see that. Let's raise money. Because, I mean, what's he got to lose? If he's got his girlfriend in his corner. What a dumbass, you know? You don't, and she has no fight experience. He's a double dumbass. You know, one thing, you don't have family or girlfriends in the corner or in the locker room. They don't go in the locker room. And you've got, because you have to disassociate yourself with everything except for the fight, you know?
So I agree, but so far she's 2-0 in his corner, or she's undefeated, or he I think, or maybe he's like 1-0. He beat Mickey Gall, right?
Yeah.
So
he's 1-0 with her. I feel like during the fight they'd cut to Don Fry and Mike's girlfriend, and they would be both like, Don Fry and Mike Perry's girlfriend would be making out during the fight, and then she would like leave him for Don Fry, and it would just be fucking hilarious. That's what I picture.
Hey guys, quick news flash. Apparently Eddie Van Halen has passed away.
Fuck. What?
No, what?
Wow. Yeah, at 65.
Oh, man. That sucks.
So we lost a legend. We lost a legend. I still listen to Eruption. You know, in one of my playlists, you know what I mean? Like in Panama, like all those jams. I still love him. I still listen to him.
I actually met him one time. He came to a comedy show, and he gave me a compliment afterwards, and I was like, I was in heaven. Fucking Eddie Van Halen's the fucking god.
That stinks.
Sorry.
Did he die of old age or of overdose?
I don't think it was an overdose. I just imagine it's probably complications from years of that lifestyle, maybe. I don't know. I haven't read.
Complications from David Lee Roth.
Yeah. I went and saw their. Did you guys go see their reunion tour when they went on tour?
No.
I saw them twice, man. And once they were great, and once they looked really old and tired.
Oh, he had cancer. He had a battle with cancer.
Yeah, cancer.
Oh, okay.
That's one.
That sucks. So Johnny Bones Jones and Israel Adesanya are fighting on Twitter. Bones tweeted out, "Fighter and coach is mentioning my name in interviews, refuses to sign a dotted line, straight ho shit, mentioned a man's dead mother over the internet, but looking to fight Jared Cannonier." And then he goes, somebody said, "You just want attention." He goes, "If I wanted more attention, I'd sign with a world-class talent agency." Jones put down his own agency. "Maybe buy a few Ferraris and move to Miami. You're mistaken." And then he goes, "Costa lost a fight the day he signed the contract to fight for the championship. His new fame defeated him before the fight even started. Kid just stood there in front of a kickboxer and showboated for the cameras. Don't compare me to someone who's never proven nothing." And then it keeps going on. And then Costa said, "Fuck records. You should know how many criminal records you got. You lost your belts how many times?" And then Jones said, "Yeah, you just bring it up, my cocaine use, you fucking loser. Blah, 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 blah." Who do you think wins this fight?
John Jones would beat both of them in the same night.
Really? John Jones beats Israel?
Easily. Takes him down and beats the brakes off of him.
Israel better pull a Joe Biden and go hide in his basement.
Now, by the way, so Donald Trump is selling... Donald Trump is selling
Jones
coins.
Is like Trump, is it?
Trump is selling memorabilia coins saying Trump defeated COVID from the White House website.
Yes, that's amazing.
They're $100 each. Fry, how many have you bought so far?
Only three.
Now, Don, did you think
my allowance doesn't kick in?
$100 each. Do you think it was a good idea him driving around waving to people when he had COVID?
Hell yes. They're outside. You think that stuff is, there's nobody near the goddamn limousine. Come on.
Yeah, but what
it's
about
ridiculous the that anybody's picked up.
But what about the limo drivers?
What's that?
What about the drivers? The limo driver.
Hey. Okay, fuck. We're worried about the boogeyman, an invisible virus, and these guys gonna step in front of a bullet or a bomb. you know? And now we're worried about their safety because of a fucking boogeyman virus? Come on.
McCorkle, thoughts?
I'm with Don. I was actually wondering how excited Don would be that Trump whipped COVID's ass like it was nothing. But I would assume the driver probably has a glass window in between him and Trump anyway, and the Secret Service guys are with Trump all the time anyway. So if they get it, you know, they're already going to get it either way. I am so anti-mask. Like, I'm more anti-mask than G.I. Joe as far as, like, when I want Cobra wear masks. I think it is – my girlfriend has her master's in epidemiology with a focus in infectious disease. She's been saying from the beginning that mask isn't going to stop a virus. It's complete waste. Unless you have the N92 mask, which only protects you, not anyone else. And you can get it on your hands. You can get it through your eyes. You can get it through anything, man. Like, it's through your butthole where you're so inclined to doing whatever you're doing there. No, but I think it's
it's true, yeah.
Yeah, I think it's – I mean, I know there's people that have died from it. I think probably about 10% have died from it that actually they act like have died from it. I think everything else is like, you know, like they say, a guy gets hit by a bus and they call it a COVID death. I know it's a real disease, but I think everybody in the world is using it to their advantage on some sort of – just taking it and using it to push their agenda, be it Democrats or Republicans.
Do you think the real number is about 20,000?
I think – well, I know that the CDC said 6%. Had no other underlying major causes. The 94% of deaths had an average of 2.6 major, not just like they had a cold, like they had diabetes and high blood pressure and they got ran over by a tank and they were hanging themselves at the time and they coughed. So they probably had COVID. So it's a COVID death.
Right. So. Greg, thoughts?
No comment. Just move on. Let's go back to MMA. Go back to John Jones versus Israel Adesanya.
Thank you. Yes, exactly. We're a bunch of amateurs talking about this. Let's move on.
What about Greg Fry? What does Greg Fry think about it?
Greg Fry, what do you think
about it? By the way, I'll tell you how you beat COVID. All right? You take a big old spoon of COVID, and you shove it right up your ass. And then you shit it back out. And you're like, fuck you, COVID. I shit all over you. That's how you handle COVID.
I'm going to try that later.
Greg Fry, how many times have you had COVID so far?
About 13 times this week. I had about 42 times last month.
It's only Monday.
I beat it every time.
It's only Monday.
I beat it every time.
It's only Monday.
I've been up since 2 o'clock in the morning.
Wow.
He doesn't use a spoon anymore.
Now I heard that Rowdy Beck got COVID. Is this true? Did Rowdy Beck get COVID?
I was trying to get it. I didn't want the COVID. So I'll stay in there. I can't even.
All right. Let's talk about
I heard that Brandon Schaub shoved the spoon up his ass just because.
All right. Let's talk about some of the fights. First of all, Bellator has moved to Thursday. And now they're going at 11, and it's 11:30 in the morning. They're starting to fight.
Genius marketing and business strategy.
It's live from France, and so they not only tell you when the day is, but now they switch the hours. I feel like this is like Major League when they were trying to go out of business. Remember they try to lose all the games on purpose so that they could. Like, it's almost like Scott Coker is like that woman. All right,
I feel like they like somebody said like I could hire a monkey and he could do better, and then they did. And now this monkey's like, hey, and they're like, fights are on Thursday at 11:30. The monkey said, no.
That's what he said.
On CBS Sports, which
nobody has.
But they have good fights. First of all, MVP is fighting again against Ross Houston, who's undefeated from Cage Warriors. I don't know who Ross Houston is. See, Bellator does a thing where they get a guy who fights for the title, and if he loses, he gets 14 tune-up fights. Like other organizations, they get like a tune-up fight, or UFC, maybe you play the number two guy or three. Bellator's like, fuck it. You're going back down to amateur level until you get back up there. So I don't, but the guy is 9-0. But MVP is like, I don't even know how good he is because he looks like he's amazing, but they never put him against anybody that's really that's good, except for the one time against Diego, whatever.
Lima. His name.
Diego Lima, and then he also fought the caveman. Rick, he looked great against Rickles, but then he didn't look that good against other guys. Paul Daly, that was a weird fucking fight. So we'll see. But Sean will like this. Our boy Tim Johnson, who just knocked out Matt Mitrione, is fighting Chuck Congo.
Hey, that sounds like a good fight.
Congo's won 8 fights in a row.
His last fight was a no decision because of an eye poke. Tim Johnson is a friend of the show. He was in the UFC. He was in the Army. He was driving for Uber when he was in the UFC, as well as working at a bouncer at a strip club. Now he's in Vegas, full-time fighter, fighting Czech Congo. Congo beat him the first time, knocking out in 30 seconds. I don't think he realized how hard Congo hit. But this is the rematch in France, which is where Congo's from. Who do we like? Don Fry.
I'm going Congo. Congo's a good guy. About 5 or 7 years ago when I was over there in L.A., he was selling this magic electrolysis machine, and it made my back feel great. Even though I had the broken rods, it felt good for, you know, a couple of days after the treatment. So, you know, I'm going with my man Cheek.
Even though this other guy's a big Trump supporter, I think a country guy from North Dakota also has a mustache just like you and was in the Army.
Nobody's a mustache. Nobody's a mustache.
Now,
not even Tom Selleck.
Now, do you make your girlfriends shave their vaginas like your mustache when you're down there just so you guys could, like, meet and stuff, or no?
No, the pubic hair jumps up and runs at the sight of my vagina. You know, scatters.
Wait, what?
Don Fry is starting to do Greg Fry impressions. That's what's happening. We've entered a meta loop of some alternate universe.
You said the pubic hair runs at the sight of your vagina. You have a vagina? Wait, what's just happened? Okay. Now, by the way, so I'm Sean, who wins this fight?
Man, I'd say I'm gonna root for Tim, but probably Congo. I don't know what deal Congo worked with Bellator. Oh, by the way, before I say that, I wanted to say that it's ironic that more people have seen Tim as a Uber driver than fighting for Bellator. they're like, man, that guy, I know that guy. He drove me for the airport once. Was he on TV? But Congo, how do you as Czech Congo? He signs a deal with Bellator. He fights pretty much the worst heavyweight they can find him, so he can win 10 in a row. He doesn't compete in the heavyweight tournament. He doesn't have to fight any of their heavyweights. Like, he doesn't have to fight Matt Mitrione. Doesn't have to fight Big Country, none of them guys. I don't know what deal he worked, but I tried to work that same deal with Bellator when Bjorn was there, and he wasn't having it. I told him I'd fight for them for $5,000 a fight for 8 fights if I could pick my opponent.
Yeah.
And I said, I just want to – this is before they were on MTV. And I said, you can have my name. Like, at least I had some name for me in the UFC. I said, I just want to go on a win streak. So, like, I don't want to fight in your tournament. I don't want to do that. Just up $5,000 a fight for 8 fights over 2 years if you guys would do that. And Bjorn Rebbe had zero interest, which was ironic because that company had zero interest in keeping him around after he turned that down. So
that's true.
But no, I'll go with Tim on that one. Congo will probably win, but I'm going to root for Tim.
Joe?
I got to go with Tim, dude. I mean, it's going to be an exciting fight. I think it's going to end in a knockout, probably first round, but I'm going to pick Tim.
Also on this card, Melvin Manhoef is fighting. Another legend.
I love Melvin. Melvin was fighting over in Japan when I was. That guy's a badass, man. This guy's kicks, his movement's fantastic, you know. He might slow down a little bit, but even since he slowed down, he's still faster than, you know, 90% of the people in there.
Have you ever sparred with him?
No, hell no. I'm glad too.
I'll tell you a funny one, Adam. Do you know who, maybe Wing Dog knows, who is Melvin Manhoef's striking coach? He's the he's a guy from, I think, the Netherlands or whatever, bald-headed guy. Doesn't matter what color he is, but he looks half black. I don't know. Either way, he's a world-famous coach. And I was actually fighting for a small organization, and this guy was hitting pads, and all of a sudden this guy walks in and starts telling him, hey, move your hand here, do this, like giving him instructions, kind of like telling him. And I thought the guy was just some nobody. And so I told the dude, as the guy leaves, I told the fighter, I said, man, don't listen to him. He doesn't know what he's talking about. Turns out he's one of the best striking coaches in the world. And just so happened to be there that night. But he doesn't look like he would be a great striking coach. But he was, like, stuff he was saying, I was like, that dude doesn't know anything he's talking about. And then when I go fight for KSW, he's there cornering Melvin Manhoef. And I said, oh, I know that guy. So the guy, yeah, that's one of the best striking coaches in the world. So I ruined some young fighter's career, probably got him knocked out by telling him not to listen to that guy that was giving him advice.
Well, nah, I mean, come on. That happens all the time. Now, yeah. in the UFC this week, Marlon Moraes, who everyone's looking past him because he lost to Cejudo. He beat Aldo. It was a close fight.
I don't know if anybody's looking past him.
Well, everyone's
a dangerous fighter.
But people are picking Corey Sandhagen and thinking that maybe Sandhagen, it was a fluke that he lost to Aljamain. I think Moraes wins this fight. I mean, he's some of the guys he's beaten. He beat Aldo. He beat Jimmy Rivera. He beat Aljamain. I mean, the Cejudo loss, he was winning that fight. Then he just, like, kind of gassed. It was like a weird winning until he lost. Who do we like in this fight? Don Fry.
Shit. What'd you say the guy that
Marlon Moraes. Marlon Moraes. He was like the number one guy for a while. He was knocking everyone out, and then Cejudo beat him.
They have him still listed as the number one contender.
Yeah. He's fighting Corey Sandhagen.
Yeah, I'm going with Moraes.
Yeah. And then also.
I go with Moraes, I think.
Is anyone picking Sandhagen?
I am. Only because it's a 5-round fight. I mean, if this is a 3-round fight, I think Moraes wins. But I think Corey, you know, he's a savage dude. I think he's going to be able to pull into the deep waters of the fourth and fifth round and get the TKO in either the fourth or the fifth.
And the other fight that's weird is Amir Khani, who came on the podcast and got a blowjob. Remember? He got a blowjob.
Yes. Oh, yes.
He got a blowjob during the interview. He calls himself Mr. Finland.
Because
No, I didn't blow him, asshole. Okay, it was it was on the phone. I was talking to him on the phone, and we thought he was kidding. And then when you heard like the girl slurping and like some chick talking Finnish, I guess
that's weird. I didn't know he hung out with Brendan Schaub.
Oh no,
that is Cahuenga.
So he's fighting Edwin Barboza, who. Amir Khani has like gassed out in a lot of his fights and has not looked that great. I think this is a huge step up. I think it's going to be too much. Barboza is a fucking killer. But Amir Khani's got the grappling. He's got really good grappling. He's a great wrestler. He's a strong kid. And he could maybe catch him in the first, but I don't know about this one. Sean.
Well, but Barboza's also pretty old, though. I mean, this isn't the same Barboza from like 7 years ago, you know?
He's 34.
5 years ago. I mean, I think it's a little different.
McCorkle?
I agree with you, Adam. I think, he's definitely, people are underrating him or whatever. I also think that it was interesting that Don Fry will always go for more ass. I think that's what he called him.
I want more ass.
I would agree with you. I think, people have a tendency to forget about people sometimes, man. Like if they, you know, lose a fight or they're inactive for a little while, all of a sudden, in my case, they were the worst fighter that ever lived, is what I was told. That was so funny. When I lost to Stefan Struve, everybody told me I was the worst heavyweight that ever fought in the UFC. Never mind, I beat Mark Hunt the fight before. And I'm like, well, wouldn't that make him the worst fighter who's ever fought in the UFC if I ever win over him? But
and you were what?
Turns out they were right.
And you were what, 20-1? Now, Greg Fry, have you ever gotten a blowjob during an interview?
I've never done an interview that I didn't get a blowjob during.
Like right now you're getting a blowjob?
I'm getting a blowjob right now from my cat, but it counts. She uses a lot of tongue, and I enjoy it.
Your cat blows you? Come on, man. how many ring girls have you ever slept with?
All of them.
Except how many is not? That's the question.
Exactly. There was one that got away from me, and that's just because she said she was married.
Oh, all right. Like Brittany Palmer, too?
Every one of them. And two at a time. I tried to stack them.
Wow. So we have a fighter on right now, by the way, who's 9-1. This kid's from Hawaii, Kevin Natividad. He's making his UFC debut. Kevin, can you hear me? Kevin. All right. Oh, here he is.
There he is.
He's making his UFC debut. He's a killer. I watch it. He's from Fort Worth. Isn't that where you're from, Greg?
I grew up in the Dallas area. Yeah,
his dad was in the Air Force. His dad's a hero. His brother is 2-0, just knocking people out in 12 seconds each. This dude is serious. Out of Tempe, Arizona. Isn't that where you're from, Don?
No, I'm south of Tempe.
All right, so we got Don Fry here, Sean McCorkle.
About an hour.
Yeah, an hour. Nice. Kevin, how are you, man?
I'm doing good. How are you guys?
Good, good, good. Congrats. So your first UFC fight is coming up. When is it? In 2 weeks?
October 31st, so like a little bit over 3 weeks.
And who are you fighting?
I'm fighting Miles Johns.
Miles Johns. Oh, Miles Johns is good.
He
is. He's a good fighter.
He's former LFA champ. I watched him a couple times. I actually tried to fight him back in the LFA a while ago, like 2 years ago, but it didn't happen. I guess we're doing it now.
Now, you were supposed to fight Brian Kelleher on 2 days' notice. You went to the fight, and then they called it off an hour before. What happened?
Oh, gosh, that was crazy. So I never really talked to anybody about it since. But so what had happened was we flew in. I found out about the fight on Sunday. We flew over there like Tuesday, and I did all my medicals on Monday and everything. And then we took the COVID test, and my first one was actually a false positive. It, you know, kind of really sucked. Like, I thought I wasn't going to get anything. And we actually were able to get a second test. And then that one came up inconclusive. And we got a third one. That one was negative. And then we got the last one before the weigh-ins. And or after the weigh-ins, and then it ended up being a negative also. So I don't have COVID or anything. I haven't been around anybody, and I'm making sure of that now, especially. But yeah, I guess the commission heard about it, and they just wanted the err on the side of caution.
Oh my God! So how much weight did you have to cut?
To be honest, I kind of just ate the food that they gave me from the UFC PI guys. They just gave me a bunch of food, and I honestly didn't really have to cut anything, like two or three.
But you were ready because you did all the interviews, you did press row, you're ready to fuck things up, and then all of a sudden they're like, you're not fighting. Did they at least pay you?
They did, at least. They did. They did. They took care of me and everything. UFC was great. Probably not the most ideal first experience, but
wow!
Yes.
Now I watched some of your fights. You had great fights. One fight you got a guy named Muhammad. The guy was talking shit to you before the fight, but he was saying positive things.
He was.
So you're in the ring or in the ring against him, and they're announcing you, and then he goes, "You're gonna do great, motherfucker. We're gonna kick some ass. I love you, man." Like, did that must have thrown you off, right?
No, I mean, I talked to him at the weigh-ins too, and he was saying the same thing. He just had like a lot of this energy, and everybody thought he was talking crap. And then I don't know, I was all about it. Like, I was ready for the negative side, but he was coming out with positive, and I was like, okay.
Did you ever have Don Fry? You ever have positive shit talk?
Just from a naked woman.
What about you, McCorkle? You ever have positive shit talk?
No, I'm positive. I talk shit about Brendan Schaub all the time.
of course.
But no, yeah, I don't. That's awesome, man. I was just sitting there thinking we need to pay to have that guy corner Mike Perry, probably. Like, oh, if even during a fight he's encouraging the opposite guy, he can only imagine what he can do in a corner.
That was crazy. And then I also read that you're from Hawaii. When you said if someone looked at you the wrong way, it meant you were fighting.
Pretty much. But back home, it was always like a thing. Like, if you're looking at somebody, like, you could be walking down the street and then you look at someone. We call it eyeing somebody out. So it's like, oh, bro, this guy eyeing me out. And then depending on the reaction afterward, it could either be like, oh, what's up? And then you just a big smile and then you guys are good. Or they're just like, sup, fucker, like this. And then you just go up to each other and... especially in high school. That's how it was for me.
Greg, wow. Do you ever anybody eye you out, Greg?
Probably. But my eyes are so small, and then I smoke weed and they just disappear. So they would have no idea if I was eyeing them back.
Oh my God.
I will say that's one of the most popular way to make friends.
Of course. Your last fight, by the way, was amazing against Estrada. You threw an uppercut knock. It was like a lead uppercut, right?
Kind of, yeah. Like, I set it up with my jab, and I changed my level. I did it a couple of times. I changed my level to go to the body threw a right hand. And I changed my level, but then I threw it up instead.
Oh, it was picture perfect. The only blip on your record is the 8-second knockout. Was that just something that you just didn't take seriously, or you just overlooked the guy, or?
So not necessarily overlooked him, but I got in there too, like, emotionally. You know what I mean? I just wanted to get in there and bang with a guy who has heavy hands, and we should have known better. So that was 100% my fault right there.
But hey, man, look, lesson learned. Because since then, you won 5 fights in a row, mm-hmm. and now you're making your UFC debut, and you can move out of this one bedroom that you're living in. So that's awesome, dude. How's the fight scene over in Tempe, Arizona?
There is nothing going on in Arizona. Like actually the gyms are slowly opening back up. Everything's coming around. I've had a lot of people try to get fights from our gym, but nothing because of the whole COVID thing. I hate it. Thanks so much. But I guess they're going to try to have some USMTO open in November, I think it was. Yeah, I got some.
Where do you train at?
Arizona Combat Sports.
Where do you? Oh, yeah. So they're open.
Yeah, we are. Well, the thing, too, especially after the whole, like, Vegas thing that happened to me, shoot, like, so I guess our gym opens back up at, like, 5 o'clock after the morning schedule, and I get in there with my brother and a couple of my other teammates, and we start training at, like, 3, and as soon as people start coming in, we kind of just dip because I don't want another situation like that. Maybe after the fight, I could go try to, you know.
Dude, your younger brother, I watched his LFA fight. Literally, Sean, the first fight was 9 seconds. He just fucking throws an overhand. He's got, like, amazing head movement. The second fight was 12 seconds. Both first punch, guy went down. He's 2-0. And they say he's a good wrestler. You guys are wrestlers?
Yeah, we're both grapplers, to be honest. Like, I'm a my brother's competed at the Worlds a couple times, no gi. We don't really like the gi as much. I mean, we do it, but we don't prefer it. He's a purple belt in jiu-jitsu, also a D1. He wrestled at ASU for a little while. And I'm a brown belt under Steve Rosenberg, like, mostly do a lot of that. Started doing. It's just funny how we're marketed to strikers now.
Yeah, well, then because your brother knocks everyone out, they said that you were, like, the boring one in the family. And then I went to watch your fights. I'm like, boring. Holy fuck, dude. You're like, you're killing people out there.
I just think Christian's a lot more mean than I am. That's what I'll say.
Do you have any questions for Don Fry?
Me?
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know where to start.
Is Arizona Combat, is that Ryan Bader's gym?
It was. That's where they started, I want to say. Like, I guess they moved over to Power MMA, but that's, like, just Bader's, like, exclusive place now, because I think the whole, like, facility that they had closed down. We actually still go over there a lot and train some of the guys.
Nice. Do you ever train with like Cejudo and, like, those guys over in Arizona?
We're trying to see if he wants to come in and, you know, help me for my fight, but we'll see. I've trained with him. I haven't trained with him since my first fight here in Arizona. It was, like, 2015.
Wow.
He introduced me to the calf kicks.
Now, you're from Hawaii, but they said you had a Filipino power. So are you Filipino?
I am. I'm mostly Filipino.
Oh, right on.
Mostly Filipino. Filipino. From Hawaii, and your dad was in the Air Force.
Yes.
And then your mom.
My mom is Filipino. She's from Angeles City. It's like. Wow.
Did your dad meet her while he was in overseas in the military?
Yes. Yes. Wow. In the Philippines.
In the Philippines.
The crazy story. How can I say this? For that long, only a couple months, like 2 or 3 months, and they got married, moved to Texas. He moved to Texas, and then I was born, but I don't even remember anything until maybe Alaska. New Jersey. We moved, like, Texas, Japan, New Jersey, Alaska, and then Hawaii. And then,
well, that's pretty common for military guys to marry the girls pretty quickly because of all that moving around.
Yeah.
You know?
That's what they were saying.
Yeah, that happens a lot. In El Paso, you know, my family's from El Paso, and they have the big base there. And so those guys, they'll come and, you know, try and get married within 3 months. You know, they're like, I'm about to get shipped out. Let's get married, you know. Yeah. And so that shit happens a lot. Or they go to Germany, and then they just come back 3 months later with a German wife. And it's like, what the fuck happened here? Like, well, you know, I either had to leave her or marry her. So there you go.
No, I dated a Filipino girl, and she was, like, super jealous and like, kind of crazy. Is your mom that way, too, or no? Hello?
Hello,
Kevin. The girl that I dated, she was Filipino, but she would get really jealous of other women. Is that common?
It's very common. Filipinos are crazy.
Okay,
they're crazy.
You know, Greg was talking about being in El Paso. I saw Carl Parisian try to steal an Apache attack helicopter on an army base in El Paso one time. It was awesome.
That's awesome.
Carl Parisian took off running on a base and got in a helicopter that was running in the pilot seat. I was like, this is the greatest thing I've ever seen in my life, man. It was awesome.
That's crazy.
He got restrained by some MPs shortly thereafter.
That's usually what happens, yeah.
Yeah, typically.
Well, listen, Kevin, we're all going to be rooting for your fight. Kick some ass. Where can people follow you?
You can follow me on my Instagram or my Instagram/meme account. Because that's what I do now, I guess.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
knatividad.inc. And then Twitter, I think, is like Natividad_Kevin. And then my Facebook, I honestly don't even remember.
Now, why should we all tune in to watch your fight? What's gonna happen?
Oh, I'm gonna chase those 50 G's, son. Let's do it.
Hell yeah.
Dude, brother.
I had all this pressure to get into the UFC, you know what I mean? Like, and I feel like finally getting in, it's like a release, or like a, how can I say this? Like, the pressure's off my shoulders. Because I've been trying to impress the UFC so long, and now that I'm in, all I have to do is fight. So every time I
go in, that's awesome.
You know, chase the bonus.
I got plugged into.
Well, kick some ass, brother. Thank you for coming on the show.
Man.
Good luck, man.
Thank you.
Take care.
Thank you. Hey, it's great to see and meet all of you.
Absolutely, man. I'm a big fan. If I can keep it up.
Thank you.
All right, that was Kevin. Don, are you?
Man.
Yeah. Nice guy. You would never know the dude's a fucking straight killer.
You know what? And I feel like all those guys that grow up in Hawaii are all they're not big talkers.
No.
You know, they're not big talkers. Big fighters, not big talkers.
He only has 142 followers on Twitter. So everybody go follow this man. Show him some love.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Don, are you in the bar in your house?
I'm in my house and I'm getting ready. I got to leave. I got to go to physical therapy. So I'm trying to get my phone's dying. So I'm charging my phone and I'm trying to get out the door and all this nonsense. So I'll go black here in about 5 or 10 minutes.
Okay.
So you'll just hear my voice like last week.
So before we leave, why should we vote for Trump?
Because he's the greatest president we've had since Reagan and Lincoln and Washington, you know. This guy's fantastic. He loves the United States of America, and he puts the U.S. of A ahead of himself and his health and his money. You know, I mean, he was a billionaire. He gave all that stuff up to go and make sure the United States of America stays strong so other people can become millionaires and billionaires.
Well, I know that you were alive for Lincoln and Washington. So you would know. Didn't you wrestle Lincoln in high school?
Yeah. He threw sand in my eyes, but I still beat him.
What's up, people? The wait is finally over. Football is back. Look, you might not be at a game this year, but you can still be in on the action at BetOnline. BetOnline is going the extra mile to make sure you can get in on everything imaginable this season, from game spreads and totals to team, player, and coaching props. BetOnline gives you more options to wager than any other place online. You can get in on their season opening bonuses today. I start off by wagering on win, division, and championship futures today. Head to BetOnline today and take advantage of all the great sign-up bonuses. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. You see fucking Tyga's porn? Tyga has an OnlyFans account now?
Really?
Their rapper Tyga.
I thought you were talking about Tiger Woods. I was like,
No, the rapper Tyga, he posts a picture of him with like six girls. They're all eating each other out. They're like hot girls naked. And he put like OnlyFans coming. I guess some girl like has like a dick pic of him he sent somewhere and she was going to post it. So he's like, fuck it. I'm going to post it myself and make money on it. His dick is like humongous. It's like the biggest dick you've ever seen.
Well, none of us are surprised at that.
Brendan Schaub's the biggest dick I've ever seen.
One last one, folks.
I don't see it.
One last one.
Anyway, take
see
care.
See you, Don. You're the best.
You're the best. But yeah, I guess OnlyFans now has like a lot of like, I guess mainstream people now are going into OnlyFans.
Well, it's the new Facebook.
Is it really the new Facebook?
I guess. I mean, with the COVID quarantine, everybody has so much free time and nobody has jobs. You might as well. I mean, I've got to make an OnlyFans, dude. I got to start that shit. I got to make money.
How many people do you think are going to join your OnlyFans?
It's just going to be my mom and my dad. And yeah. That's it.
Mostly family. That's gross. I've got a
friend that was on Judge Judy. That's gross.
What was that?
I've got a buddy that was on Judge Judy that's a real good looking dude. And he had like thousands of gay men hit him up after his appearance, wanting to meet him. And then before you know it, he was like, dude, these guys are giving me $100 to $200 a pop for a video of me jerking off. And I'm like, wait, you're jerking off for dudes for $100, dude? I said, like, that's like, it would take a lot more than that for me. But he was like, well, I thought that was good. I was like, nah, dude, I'd go for more if you're going to do something semi gay like that, you know, like if you're straight. But then he hit a girl in the face with a hammer and he's in jail now. So he can't do that anymore. But.
Why am I laughing? I'm laughing at the weird segue.
That one took a dark turn. That one.
I guess like also some guy from The Bachelor has an OnlyFans too. I don't know. I just think that a lot of female fighters have OnlyFans. I don't know. It's just not something that I would ever do. But
does OnlyFans what? They just can see you naked or what's the deal? I don't know what it is.
I've never subscribed to anyone's OnlyFans because my wife and I we share an account. And I don't want her to go, what's this? I have to explain that.
Is that really the only thing stopping you?
Well, no. There are a lot of things stopping me. I don't want to give anyone $20. I want to actually meet people in real life. I'm not paying $20 to fucking I never was into like virtual, like those cam girls or paying people tokens. I just don't feel good about myself if I did that. I mean, I've watched porn, obviously, millions of times. But any type of like other than that, it's just, I don't know. It just doesn't seem kind of odd to me. That's just me. Other people.
I would have an OnlyFans if people wanted to watch me try not to eat cake and then lose that battle and eat the cake. That would be the only content.
I know it's
you and I just in front of a cake, just like we can't eat it, dude. We're trying to cut weight, bro. We're not gonna fuck it. Let's just eat a little bit of the cake, and then it starts with like one bite. Like we're just gonna have one bite, and then we're gonna stop right. And then you know, 10 minutes later, we'll eat the whole fucking cake.
I have a friend who's like a really hot chick, but she's not that great of a comic. But she's like sort of OnlyFans. She's like you could hear my new jokes. Like I can't think of anything. Like, and she's like in like she's almost naked, and she's like for $20 you can hear my new jokes. I'm just like. I can't think of something I'd rather do less. But
Brendan Schaub has one where he'll keep his clothes on if you pay him.
Brendan won't tell you jokes.
And you don't have to hear his jokes. You don't have to hear a Brendan Schaub joke and he stays clothed.
For $20, I will not tell you a joke. But yeah, I don't know. Is this where we're going now? It just seems like the whole world, like Kellyanne Conway's kid, we were talking about that. You hear about that? 15-year-old kid. I forgot. I don't know. Her name is Claudia Conway. She just basically has a TikTok where she talks about Trump. And you know, her the mom was like what the White House
advisor. She was a White House advisor and previous campaign manager.
And then she's saying things like he's really sick. He's lying. My mom's coughing. Trump gave my mom COVID. Like the whole time she's like this girl making I feel like saying, "Oh, my mom's coughing. Thanks a lot." Trump, you asshole, blah, blah, blah. And then you see Kellyanne yelling at her, like, put that fucking phone away. She's like, whatever, mom. I mean, you're watching, like, it's insane. So now
I'll be honest, that's an OnlyFans I would pay for.
So she's like trending now on Twitter, and people are saying she's our savior. We must keep her alive, that they're getting the better press from her than the actual, like, that she's the only one we could trust. You can't trust Fox and CNN. It's Claudia Conway. I mean, it's fucking hilarious. But yeah, I was on TikTok.
I know Kellyanne Conway's husband hates Trump. I know that.
Yeah, well, so does the daughter. And the daughter hates her. But she's like, LOL, he's sick as hell, LOL. I like, this is what she's rating. Like, this world is so upside down. It's so upside down. And it's only 30, we still have 30 more days to the election. It's like every day it's something new. I mean, he went joyriding 2 days ago.
30 days till the election and 2 years before we find out who won.
The guy went
before it's done running through the courts.
The guy went joyriding. And then, according to the Vanity Fair yesterday, Donald Trump Jr. wanted to have an intervention for his dad, saying that he's like hopped up on steroids, having dementia, and doesn't want to go on joyriding. By the way, the steroids he's taking, Sean, have you ever taken those steroids?
No, I think they're just getting an anti-inflammatory like prednisone. Those are the only steroids I wouldn't take. Those don't do you any good. That just helps with inflammation. Like, it's not a steroid like performance enhancer or a hormone manipulator. I don't believe anyway. I'm not sure exactly what he's taking, but typically just give you prednisone, which, you know, reduces inflammation.
So he's not, cause people are saying that he's jacked up on steroids, which is why he's tweeting so much.
No. They mean like I would assume the steroids, they mean a doctor's not going to give you steroids for anything like that. I mean, the steroids they're talking about is prednisone, which is a super powerful anti-inflammatory, but also makes you swell. Like Iteril Sanya's right tit. So, yeah. No, I'm just trying to come up with an analogy. But yeah, no, that's prednisone. That's if anybody ever gets a real big face. That's why I have a big face right now. No. But that's, that's prednisone. That's not a performance enhancing steroid.
Then, like, then you watch that. Then you watch put on Joe Biden, and he's over there going, telling the reason I'm able to quarantine is because a black woman stacked my groceries. And you're like,
right. Like, Mammy made his groceries available.
Yeah. Like,
did you ever see him talking about corn pop?
Yeah. Like that. Legendary. And then he went up to some 4-year-old that was like, I can't wait to see you dance in 4 more years.
Saw that. Like, so weird, dude.
And then Herschel Walker was like, this is not only racist, but fucking disgusting. He's tweeting about it. I'm getting my news from Herschel Walker and a 15-year-old on TikTok. Like this, like, what the fuck is going on?
The movie Idiocracy come to life, man.
Exactly. We are through the looking glass, people. We are through the looking glass.
And it's just like, who's going to fuck this? It's almost like, who wants it less? You got Trump joyriding, and then you got Biden saying, black women are stacking my groceries. It's like, why are you saying that? Like, did anyone tell him not to say that? Like, is this what's, I don't know.
I think he was probably finishing the story he started 6 months ago. And he's got the real question is, what does America want less? Donald Trump is president, Joe Biden is president, or another Brendan Schaub comedy special? Which of those three does America not want?
That's a tough run right there.
You got one more in, Greg. You got one more in.
They got one more. That's a, did you want to change the name of the show to Schaub Roasting?
Don't you think that the world's going to be a lot less entertaining with him out of there?
Thankfully, yes.
Okay. Just blew my mind.
Biden will be entertaining, but it'll be like a depressing kind of entertaining.
Exactly.
You know?
It'll be entertaining in a totally different way. We won't even talk about it on the show.
Yeah.
It's not going to be, which is fine by me.
How do you feel about Brendan Schaub?
I don't hate him. I don't know him, so I don't hate him either. I don't, you know what I mean? Like, hey, yeah. I feel like you got to really know somebody and they have to have done something personally bad to you for you to hate them.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it's like, why would you hate that? Like, when he got sick, you know, a buddy of mine was like, oh, are you happy he got sick? I'm like, no, I'm not happy he got sick. I don't want anybody to get sick.
Yeah, that's, you know, weird, man. People,
that sucks. That sucks for everybody. I would hate that. Everyone would not want that to happen to anybody. You know what I mean? Like,
100%.
So,
well, I'll tell you what, man, people that celebrate stuff like that, karma has a weird way, or God, or whatever you want to call it, of turning it right back onto them, man. Like,
I don't celebrate other people's misery. I just don't.
No. Unless they're a pedophile or rapist, then.
Right. And then a little bit different. Exactly. And then it's a little bit different. Then you're like, yeah, get him, karma. Get him. Give him what he deserves. Right. You know.
But, dude, I'll tell you what, man, because of social media, like Sean Penn tweeted out after, Trump got COVID, He goes, I like my presidents that don't get COVID, right? So, which, you know, because he says, you know how the whole thing with him.
The thing about the World War II veterans.
Which is also classless. Like, it's also classless. It's like, come on. But every single person almost on his thing was like, yeah, I like my actors that don't hang out with dictators, like the El Chapo thing or the guy with Venezuela. Or I like my actors that don't go to Epstein Island. Like, I like my actors that don't beat Madonna. Like, it was just like, what? Like, you have to be careful. Like, because I'm sure back before social media, you could make a statement like that and people would be like, oh, yeah, Sean Penn. But now, like, the people were just fucking killing him on that. Like, I don't know if he looks at it. You know, if he's just, he may have someone to tweet for him or something. But I was like, whoa, you know. You got to be careful. You know, you're right. Like when you say something like that, it's a lot of times it's going to come right back at you.
It does, man. It's people. Same with fighters. Like Adesanya is the worst winner I've ever met. You know, if you look at Conor McGregor, all the shit he talked about Diaz, the minute he won, he's like, this guy's a warrior, man. You know, whatever. People love that, man. Like, they love somebody that shows mercy, man, or shows. No one likes a sore winner or a sore loser, man. You know, so it's like sore winner worse than sore loser. But Adesanya didn't gain any fans by humping Paulo Costa, other than his only fans, probably.
No, even with Colby, I was like, bro, he could have checked on. Woodley was sitting there in pain.
Yeah.
You could have went over there, but hey, man, you all right? Like, hey, good fight. But like, that's all, you know.
Just a little, man. Yeah, just a little. I know what you mean. Just a even little. Just something.
Even when Ronda with Misha. Like, wouldn't shake your hand afterwards. I understand it's a fight and everything, but it's still a sport. And
right.
The first thing you teach kids is good sportsmanship. That's the first thing you teach.
Well, even in the movie Gladiator, you remember Gladiator when Russell Crowe wouldn't kill the guy that was a legend of the thing or whatever, then the, not that that's a real thing, but the crowd went crazy for him. That's really true. You know, like when he showed mercy to the legend, you know, the same way. I mean, Tyron Woodley's a legend in the sport. If I would have liked to see Colby give him a little credit, a little respect, anything, you know, I mean, you just beat his ass. Like, it's not like you got anything else to prove, you know, so.
No, yeah, but also, like, when fighters talk about how good their opponent was, it makes them look better.
Right.
And also, like, when you say, oh, that guy was really tough because X, Y,
and Z. Well, what we're talking about is class. Yeah. And class kind of flew out the window for a while, and maybe we'll see a resurgence.
I don't know, man. Maybe we won't.
Dude, that's one thing I will say. Like, I Trump cracks me up, but I wish he would be a little more civil, a little classier, man. Like, there's a time and a place, man. But, like, you know, a lot of times he should just let up a little bit. You know, like, even when you got the victory, you don't have to rub it in their face.
He's never once apologized about anything.
Right.
Yeah. And I think that he's set a precedent for people that they, like, don't have to apologize. And I think that's not good, man. I mean,
no.
People fuck up. People fuck up all the time. It makes you human. Even, you know what, even...
And listen, when I'm the person talking about class, you know there's a problem.
I'll tell you, you know what, actually, during the debate when Joe Biden looked the best, I thought was when he talked about his son. When he's like, yeah, my son had a drug problem, like lots of Americans, and I'm really proud of him. And he's that made him look so human. You know, that actually was like, you actually saw like a parent there. Someone that's...
Right, instead of a politician, yeah.
And that was like... I wouldn't say it won me over, but I'm like, wow, you know, Trump was digging, you know, your son's a crackhead and this, and all that shit. But then when he said, you know, my son's has a drug problem, it really humanized him. And I thought that was actually kind of a cool moment. But
I had a thing going with King Mo forever. We were trashing each other back when he first got popular and I was first in the UFC. And then he got beat up. He got hit with a wild punch and knocked out by some guy. Yeah. And I left a headline on the Underground. It looked like I was going to trash him, but I said, he's obviously the better fighter. You know, he should have won that fight. He wins that fight out 10 times. I wish King Mo the best. And everybody was shocked because they thought I was going to take that opportunity to kick him while he was down. But I don't think, man, it never looks good kicking somebody while they're down, ever. No one likes that, you know?
No, even Dylan Danis, like, said, respect Ben Askren when Askren lost.
Right.
And even, like, Ben Askren's biggest, you know, and Askren himself, like when Darren Till got knocked out, he made fun of him. But people like said to like, hey, keep your head up. You know, it happens. I think all you guys know it could happen to you.
Yeah.
That's why even as a comic, I don't fuck with comics when they bomb. Because I'm like, I've bombed thousands of times and I'll bomb thousands more. It's just, you know, unless they're like my friend, then I'll fuck with them. Like,
then it's like, ooh. Yeah. If you have that kind of relationship, then it's like, well, come on, I'm not going to. let you off scot-free.
But anyway, listen, this is a great show. Thank you, Sean. Thank you, Greg. Thank
Thanks, guys. Good stuff, guys.
Thank you. Thank you, Kevin. And thank you, Don Fry. I'll see you guys soon.
Take care.
Greg Fry.